if you were going to be still messaging India for a little while, I was going to wait.
No, I just said that I need to go because we're about to start recording. And she sent a big moment going, bye, and I'm about to eat more eggs. So she's eating even more chocolate eggs than she did this morning.
That's India. We're calling you out. It's in a podcast. Stop eating so many Ferrero Rocher eggs. Ferrero Rocher.
We've started an episode of our new podcast, putting you on blast for eating Ferrero Rocher eggs. If you aren't India, welcome to the Genuinely Spooky Podcast.
Episode 2.
Yes.
Cheers.
And we have tea.
We have tea today.
We are recording at about 4 p.m, so whiskey or a dram seemed inappropriate.
Yeah, to do this and then do some more work, like a little bit tipsy, it's not great.
I mean, it's lockdown.
It's lockdown.
We could probably get away with doing it.
I don't think time exists anymore, so I think...
We don't leave the house, so it'll probably be fine. We have tea.
We have tea.
I hope you're well.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed the first episode.
If you didn't, I guess you're probably not here. So
if you didn't like it, we don't want to know.
We don't want to hear it. Speaking of whiskey, I was thinking we should convince, is it Sam Hewen, the Outlander guy?
Yes, to sponsor, Sam Hewen.
To sponsor us and send us a bottle of his new whiskey.
The Sassenach whiskey.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be convinced, because I really want to buy a bottle of that anyway. It's going to be on my birthday Christmas list this year.
That's what I thought, but it's like quite expensive, so we'll just be like, hey, we're starting a podcast about Scotland. You should sponsor us and send us a free bottle.
It's won loads of awards.
That's it. We don't need payment. We'll just take that.
It sounds like a really good whiskey. Genuinely. Not just to because I want some. It genuinely sounds like a really good whiskey.
Yeah. Now they're getting free advertising. Right, you have to
just,
pay, isn't it?
Just hit me up. Sassenach Whiskey.
Yeah. Sam Hewen, if you're listening to this...
He's not listening
yeah,
to
you're,
this.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't be. Like, you've probably got work to do. What are you doing? There's no time for this.
What if he is listening and you just...
Blast them. Please don't steal my wife from me if you're listening. Because you could, and I wouldn't like it. He didn't disagree.
No comment. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed episode one. We were nervous. It's a big deal. I've never done anything like this before, so it was difficult, but I feel like it went well.
Yeah, I think so. We're back doing episode two, so...
We came back... We're over the first hurdle.
Mm-hmm. And now we're here. And, well, presumably you have a story to bring us. Because I haven't brought anything.
No, you made the tea.
I made the tea.
For us both. That was very kind of you.
Yeah. I set up the microphones.
You did. And I do have a story. I have brought a story today.
That's good.
So like I said last time, Kieran doesn't know this. Well, we didn't introduce ourselves. That's Kieran.
Hi.
My husband.
I'm over here.
Mm-hmm. And my name's Ailey. I'm the wife.
The wife?
Of the husband. And we run the Genuinely Spooky Podcast.
We do. We do.
But yes, I do have a story for you.
Excellent.
You'll be excited to hear.
That's good. I don't know what we'd do if you didn't. You should riff it. Just make up a story.
We all do that thing where, like, you were in school and the teacher were trying to, like, catch you out, so you'd rely on... Like something being there, or so one of your friends having answers, or something, and then
like
the eggs on your face. You weren't prepared.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do it just to prove a point. So, well, you should have thought of that.
Yeah, I should have brought a story. I had that in primary school where we had to bring in a poem, and I didn't bring in a poem.
You didn't bring in a poem.
I forgot to bring in a poem in like primary three or primary four. I was going to borrow someone else's like book of poems, and the teacher was like, you can't just read a poem from a book you found this morning. That doesn't count. I mean, like, So I told, like, it's not even, like, a rude poem that my dad had told me.
Oh, God.
Just, like, a weird one.
Was it a limerick?
It was almost a limerick. We three kings of Orient are selling knickers a threepence a pair.
You said that in primary three in front of a class of children.
I've been, like, selling knickers a threepence a pair. No elastic, they're fantastic, made out of camel's hair. And the teacher just sort of looked at me, just like, Well, that was a poem, so well, off we go.
That's awful. I can't believe you said that.
I was in primary school sometime.
Cannot believe you said that. I cannot believe your dad told you that.
He just kind of like wandered into the kitchen singing that. And then just in the spur of the moment, we were even like, we were lining up to leave. Must have been like going to like PE or something. And I said, I've just remembered a poem. Can I say it? And she was like, sure. Okay. So like I went in my bag and my coat. I went and said that. She was just staring at me. Right. Okay. Yeah, that is a poem. Back in line. Let's go.
That was definitely one of those moments where the teachers heard that and gone, it's your parents that have told you that. You picked that up at home. I wonder if she said anything to your mum and dad at like a parents' evening. She's like, oh yes, that he absorbs everything like a sponge. Subtext, stop telling him dirty poems. At age, what, primary three?
I think it must have been older than primary three. It must have been like primary 5 to primary 7.
So you were like 9 or 10?
Yeah, like between 8 and 10 sometime. Ages 8 to 10. Oh, no one told dad, and he was just like, oh. Head in his hands. But what the teacher say? Like, oh, shit, it was fine, so now I don't have to, like, do it for homework. Yeah, because it was extra homework. The ones who didn't had to go home, and you had to write out a poem you found and bring it in the next day.
Much harder.
For, like, a punishment, in quotes. But I didn't have to.
Wow.
I had it covered.
Well, how about I continue bringing the story so that we don't have to do that? So that episode 3 isn't just you saying that poem.
Well, see, I did bring a story. That was the story I brought today. And in the same fashion, it just came to mind. Like, oh, I need a story. Oh, I know.
Some things never change.
It's been locked in there for 20 years. Sorry, carry on.
Well, do you have any guesses for what today's story might be? How are you feeling about another story, another tale?
I'm eager.
Yeah.
I'm excited, yeah, because I really enjoyed the last one.
It was nice. It was nice after we recorded the last one. Kieran told me he really enjoyed it and liked hearing the legend.
I did. Yeah, I'm not sure. Will it be something else, like, from, like, 150 years ago?
No.
A contemporary legend.
Mm-hmm.
Mystery.
Yep.
/ something generally spooky.
Good plug.
Yeah.
Today, I'm going to tell you about the Gorbals vampire.
Ooh. That's exciting.
Do you know anything about the Gorbals vampire?
I know you had a list of show ideas. This was one of them. And I said, we should do this one.
So no.
No. And I know the Gorbals is in Glasgow.
Okay.
For those who don't know.
You know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it, or I've heard it was called the Gorbals because that's where the lepers had to go. And they had to wear bells around their necks so you'd know they were coming. And they were like gore bells or something. Oh. But I don't know if that's actually true.
Well, that's not in my story.
Oh,
so
interesting.
You've brought something to the tale.
So I was like, oh, is it something like with leprosy? Eating leopard? I don't know. So no, not that. But
okay, well, yeah, today's episode is about the Gorbals vampire. And it is a wild story.
Oh, yeah?
It's like equal parts creepy with equal parts just so interesting and strange. Kind of like the fairy coffins that we talked about last week, how that was kind of, it was equal parts creepy, but also just really interesting because there's so much we don't know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is in a similar vein to that, but it's better because we're in Glasgow, like you said.
In Glasgow!
Mm-hmm. We're in Glasgow. We're on the west coast, or the west side of Scotland, for this episode, rather than in Edinburgh. And we're in the Gorbals. So like Kieran said, that's an area in Glasgow. And the Gorbals is an area south of the River Clyde, kind of close to the city centre. And the Gorbals, it's a bit different now. But before and during the 50s, the Gorbals had a really bad reputation. And our story happens in 1954. So although it's a nicer place now, when we're talking, the Gorbals really isn't a great place to live.
I think there was a lot of, like, gang violence in Glasgow in, like, the 50s through 70s.
Well, I'll tell you a bit more in a bit, but the Gorbals, just the conditions weren't great, and people were living in conditions that were just awful. You might not know this, but the Gorbals was designed in 1872. So it was completely planned out, and it started as a small village that was basically just one street. So it wasn't designed for the huge numbers of people that would eventually move there. But I thought it was interesting that it was planned out and they planned it around this like fountain, and they based it off an area in Italy, I think.
Really?
Oh, no, no, I think it might have been Paris. I might have that wrong.
Wow.
But it was all planned out, like they planned out this whole area for people to live in, which I never knew.
No, I had no idea. I assumed it just grew from Glasgow, because it's not that you can walk there from the city centre. It's not, like, far away.
No, but it was its own village. It was its own place. Mm. But, you know, we talked about the Industrial Revolution last episode. Mm-hmm. Lots of people were moving to the city to get better jobs. It was designed in 1872, so that's prime Industrial Revolution time. That's where we are. We're in the Gorbals. To give you a better idea of the kind of conditions that I was talking about, in 1931, so 20-ish years before our story starts, the Gorbals only took up about 2% of the space in Glasgow, but around 85,000 people were living there. So I've said it several times, the Gorbals in the 50s was not the nicest place to live. It was completely overshadowed by this place called Dixon's Blazes, which was a huge iron foundry.
Mm.
So like a steelworks type of building. And it covered a lot of the buildings with soot. So everything was very dark, very grimy. And the Gorbals was overcrowded because World War II had not long finished. So it finished in 1945.
Yep.
And new homes hadn't really been built during the war because there was a war going on. So there wasn't enough homes, really overcrowded. And then after the war, there was a baby boom.
Oh.
So we have a vastly growing population.
Mm.
Homes haven't been built for 6 years. And people are moving to the cities for jobs. And there's all these great factories and things. So all of that combined creates a bad situation.
It's not great.
Do you know what the answer was to the overcrowding problem?
How
did they solve it?
Councillors or someone decided to do.
So there's not enough homes. There's too many people.
Hmm.
What did they do about it?
I'm assuming they did something. So I want to say just nothing. They just won't deal with it. But if they did,
I'll give you a clue. What did they build?
What did they build? Tenements?
Tenements!
Ah.
Yes. They built tenement houses. That's why tenement houses started going up. Lots of tenements were quickly built to try and provide more homes for people. But unfortunately, the conditions in these tenements weren't great either. So people had somewhere to live, but that's basically all they could say that they had. The water and the sewage facilities were bad. Sometimes up to 30 people had to share one toilet.
Mm.
Up to 40 people may have had to share one tap.
Oh.
And it was fairly common for families of around 8 to be sharing one room.
Man. For those who don't know, the tenements block is sort of like a block of flats, but much worse and much horribler.
Well, they were bad then. Like, the tenements had a bad reputation, but the tenements in Glasgow are kind of iconic now.
Mm-hmm.
The tenement buildings. I think their reputation has changed, and they've become an icon. Sorry, that's our dog. They've become an icon for the city. But back then, they weren't great. They were tiny and flats, and lots of people were crowded in, and it wasn't nice.
Yeah, it's not that long. It's like one of our friends who's our age, in their 20s, dad lived in a tenement and had to have like a bath in a bucket in front of the fire. A big basin, not just a little bucket.
This is the 50s, so it's really not that long ago. I think you take for granted a lot of the time the things that you have now,
mm-hmm.
that you just, people didn't have.
Yeah. We went to university in Glasgow, for those interested.
Yes, we love Glasgow.
We do love Glasgow. But one of my professors was from Glasgow, and he left, I think he said he left in the 80s, just because like Glasgow was disgusting, because there was soot everywhere, and it was black, and it was horrible. Might have been earlier than that. But yeah, he left because it was just not a nice place to be in. And he came back in like the 2000s and it was like a different city because it was clean all of a sudden. Just didn't have soot and grime and dirt and overcrowding.
There was a show that Billy Connolly did. He's a Scottish comedian. And if you don't know him, please look him up because he's amazing. I think we'd be in the wrong if we had a podcast about anything related to Scotland and we didn't mention Billy Connolly at least once.
Yeah, and he worked in Glasgow on the Clyde.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm pretty sure there's a show where he goes back to Glasgow.
Mm.
It might have been when they were doing the big murals of him.
That makes sense.
He goes back and he talks about what Glasgow was like when he was growing up there and how it changed. So I'll try and find a link, and if we have show notes, I'll put it there so that you can watch it.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. It's interesting how much Glasgow as a city in particular has changed over the past 100 years.
Mm. A wild transformation.
Mm-hmm. The Gorables at this time was one of Europe's most deprived neighbourhoods. So it wasn't just one of the worst in Scotland, one of the worst in the UK. It was one of the worst neighbourhoods to live in all of Europe at this time. There was a lot of crime, a lot of poverty, but it should be noted that a lot of people who didn't live in Glasgow, knew about the community spirit that was fostered in the Gorables at this time. They knew that people looked after each other, they cared about each other, and this is important for the rest of the story, which is why I bring it up now. So, we're in the Gorables, surrounded by tenement buildings. There's lots of soot from the steelworks, like I said. Lots of people, lots of smog.
Mm.
Now, as a child, you're probably thinking, this isn't a great place to play with my friends. There's not a lot of space, not a lot of fun. There's loads of photos, actually. You've probably seen them of kids playing in, like, the courtyards in tenement buildings. Like, just,
oh, yeah.
Like, playing football.
Football.
Yeah. There's not a lot of places for them to go. So if you're in that situation, where do you play?
What do you do?
Where do you go?
Just on the street, I guess.
Well, the children of the Gorables
went
to the Southern Necropolis to play.
Oh, the one near Strathclyde University.
I think that is different.
A different necropolis.
I think that's the... hang on. Right, so... yeah, so you have Southern Necropolis, which is in the Gorbals. You're thinking of Glasgow Necropolis, which is close to where our old flat was.
Mm-hmm.
They're different.
Okay. So I've never been to the Southern one, then.
All of this research, and I'm still like...
wait,
why? Don't know. So, the children of the Gorables were playing in the Southern Necropolis because it was one of the only places that was open, given loads of space to play. It was green space, which they didn't have a lot of.
Yeah.
Lots of trees, and the Southern Necropolis has a really imposing, big Gothic gateway.
Very cool.
To enter. It's beautiful, but it's very creepy. It seems very fitting for the entrance to a graveyard.
Yeah.
I'll try and have a picture on the Instagram feed if you're interested in seeing that. And it seems weird from the outside looking in for children to come together, get together just to play in the graveyard. But it was completely different to everything else around it. It wasn't completely grey. They just had more space to be kids, which they didn't have anywhere else.
It doesn't make sense because it would much more resemble a park when you didn't have any parks.
Exactly.
And all you had was this, almost sounds dystopian really, just like concrete buildings and dirt everywhere, like the Elysium movie.
Oh yeah.
Where everything's super overcrowded.
Well, it's just, it gave them somewhere else to be, and it looked completely different from everything else that they knew. Almost a place where your imagination could run riot.
I mean, if you're just going to be a vampire, it's going to be in the, I mean, mind you, they don't have any blood.
Almost like somewhere anything could happen. Dun, dun, dun. So after reading this entire story and listening to interviews with people, I have such a clear picture in my head of how it must have happened. So I'm excited to talk to you about it. And I want you to put yourself in the shoes of your childhood self.
Ooh.
For just a minute. Indulge me, just a minute. You're about 12. Okay.
Yeah.
You've just finished being one of the big boys in primary school, and now you're one of the little titchy ones in the high school. So can you imagine it?
I'm there.
You're trying to be the big lad, trying to make a good impression, big impression, so that you don't seem as titchy as you feel.
I was very titchy, so that works.
Did you? You know what I'm talking about.
I'm there. I'm with you.
What was your experience moving up into the big school?
I was never really a big lad in primary school either, other than physically. Bigger than the primary ones. But sending up into high school, like, yeah, I was just running around me like, ah! With my older brother being like, oh man, he's so much like older and cooler. He's in like secondary three.
So you know what I mean. It's a scary time.
Yeah.
And it's the 50s. So in this scenario, you don't have a PlayStation. You don't have a phone. You don't have Netflix. Entertainment is a little bit harder to come by.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make your own fun. It's a couple of weeks after the summer holidays have finished. September 23rd.
A sad time.
Okay. You're chatting with the lads at break time, having a grand old time, when one of your friends runs over to you. We'll call him Lachlan. He runs over to you. And his eyes are wild and he's so wound up that he can barely get his words out to you.
Okay.
And you're wondering what the hell is going on. It turns out that Lachlan's been speaking to his friend, who has a cousin who goes to the next school over from yours. The cousin's school is alive with a story. A rumour. And he told Lachlan's mate, who is now telling you, there's a vampire in the southern necropolis.
Wow.
He's 7 feet tall.
7 feet tall.
He has long fangs made of iron.
Oh.
He has glowing red eyes. And he's already killed 2 boys from the Gorbals, who he's also eaten.
Oh, shit.
You're horrified. Obviously.
Yeah.
There's no way that Lachlan's mate would lie about something like that, because his older brother's in the police. He knows what he's talking about. A vampire killing children from the Gorbals. It's just not right. It's not right. You look around at all your friends, and they're all wearing the same horrified expression as you. The story has completely taken over all of your imaginations at the same time, as these things do when you're 12.
Yep. And there's not a lot else going on. Better than doing schoolwork. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely everyone you know plays in the necropolis, because that's the only place you can go to hang out. One of you could be next. And some of your mates in the group have younger brothers and sisters, so you're worried about them too. What if the vampire got one of them? What would you do? So you all decide that something has to be done. You all know it. You need to sort out this vampire. Lachlan says that the boys at his cousin's school are all heading to the necropolis after school finishes today to get the vampire.
I was going to say, because if you're 12 and a boy, you're going to take care of it yourself. So we don't need no adult. We'll take care of this as long as we all go together and you go first. Because I'm not going first, you go first.
So you all agree that you're going to do the same as these boys from the other school. And then Lachlan runs off from your group to go and tell even more people. You're going to need as big a group as possible if you're going to take on a vampire.
It's true. And if he's 7 foot tall and has iron teeth. And if I'm 12, you tell me 7 foot tall? I don't know how tall that is. That's like as tall as a building for all I know.
See, it's only sensible. So what I've described is almost exactly what happened in schools in the Gorbals in 1954. Obviously, I've made up the names, but that's what happened. The rumour spread from school to school that a vampire was in the southern necropolis and he had kidnapped 2 children... had murdered them and eaten them. So for 2 nights, starting on September 23rd, the police received calls that anywhere between 200 and 400 children descended on the southern necropolis, wielding stakes, crosses, knives, crucifixes and axes. And some of them even brought their dogs to get vampire.
That's a good idea. A nice vicious dog with you. Oh, wow. Yeah, because I was thinking, like, I definitely, like, find out, like, a good hitting stick, you know, mm-hmm. that wield the same, like, yeah, I've got this. Then I look over at my friend with an axe and be like, where did you get an axe from? Who? What are you doing? So what? There's a vampire. Are we going to hit it with your stick? Well, I might hit it with my stick. I don't know.
They had all kinds of weapons and they were kids. They varied in age. So I think the youngest was about 4. And he went along because his older brother took him. But some of them were like teenagers. They were a lot older. It was a huge amount of kids and there were hundreds of them. Like, descriptions at the time just said that they were swarming the necropolis. They were everywhere. Like, they were climbing the trees, they were up on the walls trying to find this vampire.
Outrageous.
Isn't that just an insane image?
Yeah, I can't even imagine that, because, well, like, our high school was pretty small. There was only 200 kids in it. So to have double that all in one graveyard.
Looking for a vampire.
Oh.
So Ronnie Sanderson did an interview and he was 8 at the time that this all happened. And he went to the necropolis with everybody.
Wow.
And in the interview he said, it all started in the playground. The word was there was a vampire and everyone was going to head out there after school. At 3 o'clock the school empties and everyone made a beeline for it. So they didn't even go home. We sat there for ages on the wall, waiting and waiting. I wouldn't go in because it was a bit scary for me. It's very, he's only 8.
I know, I mean, that's fair.
He's only 8. He says, I think somebody saw someone wandering about and the cry went up. There's the vampire. That was it. That was the word. Get off that wall quick and get away from it. So he was off. But then hilariously, he says, I just remember scampering home to my mother. What's the matter with you? I've seen a vampire. I got a clout round the ear for my trouble. And I didn't even really know what a vampire was.
What's a vampire? I don't know. It's just scary, isn't it?
Because I don't know, but I saw one. And he wasn't the only one. There was another interview I read with a man called Bob Hamilton. And he was interviewed about going to find the Gorbals vampire. Mm. And he didn't know what a vampire was either. But he went with everyone else to go and find it.
I suppose, why would you know what a vampire was?
Like, well, exactly.
It's the 50s. You're not going to be reading Dracula. That's a big book.
Mm-hmm. So it all sounded just a bit manic. Nobody really knew what they were looking for. Everybody was on high alert, thinking there was this monster hunting them down. And at one point, the children saw a bonfire in the necropolis. And they lost their shit because they thought that was the vampires and he was burning the bodies. So they start shouting all over again that they found the vampire. And
oh, no.
It must have been so spooky because you have all of that smoke and soot coming from the foundry. Mm-hmm. You have a bonfire burning in the graveyard.
Mm.
All of this like atmosphere and spook. And there's no wonder it would mess with your head.
It would. Yeah, just being in that group tension, like the mob mentality of just being in fear of this thing. You wouldn't stop to think, like, it's a vampire. Like, you wouldn't be able to. You'd be like, oh my god, there's a vampire.
Well, I cannot imagine what that must have been like to be pulled along in that hype of a group that big. And, like, Ronnie was 8. So, of course he's going to believe it. So it just sounded mad.
That is mad.
Police showed up to try and disperse the kids because there were houses that, like, faced the necropolis or backed mm-hmm. onto it. And they were the ones phoning to say that there were all these children in the necropolis. They have weapons. You need to disperse them. But the kids wouldn't leave. The police could not get them to leave. They were determined to catch this vampire and kill it before he killed more children. The police couldn't get them to stop.
How would you be able to hurt that many kids? You wouldn't.
Do you want to know what actually got them to leave the necropolis after the second night?
An ice cream truck.
No, it was a scary head teacher and the rain. A local head teacher came to the necropolis because he'd heard what they were doing. And he shouted at them all, told them they were being ridiculous and ordered them to go home. And they did. And it was raining. And they didn't want to be out in the rain.
I mean, should we stay in the rain and get the belt? Or should we just go home? Probably just go home,
eh? What I love is just, oh, there's a vampire. No bother. I'll have him. It'll be great. And then the head teacher comes along and they're like, oh, I don't want to mess with him. I don't want to piss him off.
He's a nut job. Look at the motorboard. Oh, no.
Right. Just, I thought that was so funny that the police couldn't get them to leave. They weren't scared of this mythical monster. But the head teacher shows up and they scarp her.
Too real. I was wondering when you said, like, the first cry went up that there's a vampire. I thought it was going to be like a poor, like, groundskeeper who, like, tends to the graveyard. Suddenly just being overrun with children because he's standing there with his rake. Or like...
Well, that's what could have started it. Like, when I read that there was a bonfire, I was like, well, that's a bit weird. But it could have just been, like, burning garden waste or something. It really could have been anything.
That's what I kind of assumed, because leaves would be... I think leaves would be falling by late September. So you kind of gather that all up. And it'd be easier to just get rid of it yourself than do anything with it.
Well, even, like, I suppose if he was cutting all that grass, like, maybe...
Yeah.
It could have been anything.
A big green space. There's going to be a lot of just garden waste that'll need burning.
Well, yeah, thankfully there was no groundskeeper that was trampled to death by children. That didn't happen. But it was completely insane. Like, people were hearing about what was going on, and the people who were looking at the necropolis couldn't believe what they were seeing with all these children, and they couldn't believe that they'd been taken up by this huge big rumour. And eventually the newspapers began reporting on it, and then all of Glasgow knew, and were appalled. The entire UK knew because it made it to London and all the newspapers there. And then the news travelled globally. So people in the US were disgusted that these children had been taken in by the story of a vampire. It was worldwide news.
That's insane. Why were they like disgusted? What do you mean?
Well, Christians.
Oh yeah.
Communists. And even the National Union for Teachers all came together at this.
That's a fun party.
I know. It was such a weird... Well, initially when I read the story that was telling me about this, it said the National Union for Teachers, Christians and Communists. And I was like,
what?
That's a bit weird.
That's got to be a pretty niche group to fit into all three.
No, it was Christian people, communists and the National Union for Teachers separately. Which is why I changed it and put it in that order.
That makes more sense. I wonder, and you're probably about to tell me, but I wonder why, what did communists have against vampires? Because I get the Bible, that makes sense. It's a bit, it's the devil, essentially, a vampire. And teachers, well, they just want their kids to get back to school and behave. But communists?
I'll get into it a little bit later, I'll explain. Yeah. But basically, they all came together to blame American horror comics for what happened with these children. And I'll come back to that as a proper theory in a bit, as to why this was the reason that all these children became vampire hunters. But that kind of united response from all of these different groups shows how upset people were.
Yeah.
They were angry, and they weren't so much angry at the children, but they were angry that the children were being corrupted by all of these things. It's not right.
Classic.
But it went even further than just these groups saying they were upset. A campaign was launched to try and stop the corruption of children by the media. And this campaign reached Parliament.
Wow.
And you're not going to understand this. I'm hoping someone who's listening to this will understand. But he was championed by a Labour MP who was called Alice Cullen, which is the name of one of the characters who's a vampire in the Twilight books.
Oh yeah, the Cullens.
One of them's called Alice Cullen. I just thought that was hilarious.
That's amazing. I really hope the Twilight author knew that and he's like, oh, someone got it.
She. I thought that was really fun. Obviously, the books weren't out in the 50s.
No.
But when I was reading this, like, Alice Cullen, I was like, she's a vampire.
Oh my God.
Joking aside, the outrage at the hunt for the Gorbals vampire led to the creation of the 1955 Children and Young Persons Harmful Publications Act. And basically, this act still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And it banned the sale of, quote, repulsive and horrible, unquote, reading material to children.
Hmm.
So they basically believed that children were being exposed to things that they shouldn't be by comics and possibly television. But I think it was mostly aimed at comic books at this time. That was what the act banned, basically. So this went so far that it reached Parliament and changed the law. It's insane.
That is madness.
But that was it. The children never went out again to find the vampire, not en masse like they had before.
Oh, no. Oh.
And the Gorbals vampire was never found.
Oh, my. Oh. That's. Oh. What?
That was it.
Oh, man. Wow. I wonder how many people went as vampires that Halloween.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
6 weeks later?
Yeah.
Everyone had spent some time. I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, my God.
To find out what a vampire is. That's a scarecrow. That's not a vampire. What? I don't know what a vampire is.
I don't know what a vampire is. I'm just a vampire hunter. I don't know.
That's a ghost. You're just wearing a sheet. It's really weird that was thought to corrupt so much, because when we were younger, it was like violence in movies and stuff, and that's
corrupting like all the kids. Violence in games. Like,
oh, yeah, that was the thing.
That's a huge thing.
And then, like, Eminem got called out for his, like, violent lyrics and all these horrible corrupting young minds. I can't remember, it was one of the metal bands. Led Zeppelin? Black Sabbath? When you played their record backwards, there was, like, the hidden satanic message that was corrupting young minds.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Oh, yeah, it's quite a shame. I think a young man killed himself, and he'd been listening to a lot of one of the, like, the 70s, 80s metal bands, and they got taken into court, and they, like, ran the vinyl backwards, and it just goes like, And they're like, that's a satanic message telling kids to kill themselves. And
Well, yeah, it must have been a similar type of feeling that brought this act into being. But it's just, it was insane. It was two nights, but it had huge ramifications.
Yeah.
Now, like in the last episode, I have a couple of theories that I found and researched into why this actually happened and to try and explain why these children went to the necropolis.
Mm.
Do you want to give a theory before I tell you the ones that I found?
Yeah, what am I thinking?
Why do you think these children went to the necropolis?
Hmm. I think I get why they went to the necropolis. Because, well, it's the weird thing that they went because everyone else was going.
Mm-hmm.
And I can fully see that escalating. And if there's nothing else going on, like, yeah, totally. Like, even if you weren't convinced there's a vampire, you'd still go. Or you'd, like, you just kind of play pretend and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to... That'd be a lot of fun. But I don't know what could have started the rumor. Like, I wonder if two kids did go missing. Or is that just, like, Chinese whispers that got added? And 7 foot tall. That's very tall. But when you're 12, that's... You don't know height, do you? I don't really know. I don't know what it could have been.
It's complicated, isn't it?
Difficult. Because it's just the way these urban legends always go. It was just a good story. So it just spread. When you said, like, the big metal teeth, I was like, oh, maybe that's something like there was an industrial accident kind of thing.
Well,
oh, yeah, go.
I have a few, and I've tried to group them together into, like, three main theories that kind of explain why this happened, what brought it about. And the first is related to that Harmful Publications Act that I just talked about. So we'll start with that one since I just talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at it from the outside, it seems pretty plausible that if lots of children were reading comics, it would encourage them to believe what they read was real. Or it would inspire them to kind of create these monsters in their head.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives them the idea, and that's what kids do. They create their own stories and they play pretend. So it seems likely. And then in 1953, an issue of the Dark Mysteries comic book came out. This was an American comic book, I believe. And it was called The Vampire with the Iron Teeth.
Oh. Is that the year before?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the big vampire hunt happened in 1954, and this was released in 1953.
Interesting.
So that sounds quite a lot like the 7 foot iron fanged Gorbals vampire.
Yeah.
There's definitely a similarity there. However, it's not as simple as that.
Oh.
Because if I was able to just say that all these children read this comic book, there'd be no mystery.
That is true.
Barry Forshaw is a comic book expert, and he was interviewed about the Gorbals vampire.
Oh.
And all my sources for these interviews that I found, quotes, yada yada, all be in the show notes.
Which is on the website, which I now have, as generallyspooky.com.
Okay, there we go.
I didn't know it last episode.
There we go. If you look at the show notes, I'll leave links and names, credit, everything there. But Forshaw was interviewed about the Gorbals vampire, and he said that a British child getting their hands on an American comic book at that time would have been really unlikely and really difficult.
Hmm.
He actually said it would be like them finding the Holy Grail.
Oh, wow.
So these children didn't have easy access to American comics. So, like, none of them had read it.
That's weird.
Even though it had been released, the Dark Mysteries comic was a real thing, and I looked at the cover for this issue, and it exists. And it is called The Vampire with the Iron Teeth.
But could be complete coincidence.
Exactly. These children didn't have access to these comic books. So it seems likely that these comic books were used as the scapegoat to get the Harmful Publications Act through as a law.
Oh.
Because all of these groups of people and certain MPs were very keen for this to go through, and they found a reasonable cause to push it through Parliament. Because they could point at all these children and say, look at what's happening to them, because they're reading these comic books.
Wow. Okay.
Right? I have a quote from John Rankin, who was the MP for Tradeston during the Gorbals vampire mania.
Is Tradeston in and around Glasgow?
I believe so. I didn't check. I believe so. But this is him talking about comic books.
Mm-hmm.
This is his general attitude. So he says...
Was this at the time...
Yes, at the time. He says, every type of depravity is created in these American comics. Kicking an individual in the stomach, kicking him in the face, gouging out his eyes. That sort of thing is bound to create a fear complex in children, which, in my opinion, sends their minds galloping into all sorts of strange fields. So it really looks like these MPs and the communities that were upset by the Gorbals vampire fiasco found a compelling reason for their law to be made legal and use that to their advantage.
Oh, it's like the boat that rocked, getting rid of pirate radio.
By creating a disaster.
Yeah, creating the disaster. And they're like, this has happened, now we can shut it down.
So that is a theory that kids were reading comic books and that led them to believe that vampires were real. But this is the evidence that suggests that it's not the case here. What do you think?
Yeah, that seems... I would fully believe the government being the proverbial parents from Footloose, trying to ban all fun.
Trying to ban dancing in graveyards.
You know, just being like, what, these comic books are horrible? Well, it's just because your kids like them and they're stupid.
Well, is it? They were a new thing, and I think a lot of parents at the time, if they had kids who were reading comic books, they might not have fully understood why they liked them so much. Because it's new, and every generation has one.
Yeah, I mean, if you just looked at it and it was all these disturbing acts for the time, you'd be like, oh my god, like, what on earth is this?
Mm-hmm.
You'd be a bit... I suppose you'd be frightened almost.
Well, if it's something you don't understand, I think people are inclined to be afraid.
Yeah.
Or wary.
If you didn't have a spooky podcast to listen to learn these sorts of stories from. Yeah, that's all. Your evidence is compelling, that then. Because. Yeah, you'd have to have, like, someone you knew in America who'd then send you that. Like an uncle working in America, like, oh, I got you some comic books. The kids here love them.
Well, there's definitely a chance that some of those children were reading them. I'm not saying that that's absolutely not what happened.
No.
But it's just this expert, Forshaw, was saying that it would have been really difficult to get a comic book.
Yeah.
I remember the conditions that these kids were living in. Like money, they didn't have a lot of money.
I thought that earlier when you said, like, oh, the kids buying comic books. I'm like, oh, man, I bet they wish they could buy comic books. Exactly.
So, I don't know. I think maybe some of them might have read them, but I don't think they were all reading the same comic book and that's what drove them to find the vampire.
Yeah, I've never really known what comic book culture is like in the UK, really, and how long it's been going. So no,
I think it's bigger than you think.
Yeah. About how long it's been going, because my dad didn't read comic books, I know. I think he read the Beano, possibly.
That's a Scottish comic, if you're unaware. Beano and the Dandy. The Beano is definitely better.
It is, though. It is, to be fair.
Oh, but where does Oor Willy and the Bruins, where do they... Are they above the Beano? I'd say they're above the Beano.
Yeah, I'd say they're above the Beano. They're in the papers.
Yeah.
They're a newspaper comic. Yeah. I suppose to... I mean, even then, I suppose the Beano and the Dandy aren't a comic book, like a Marvel comic book.
I think they still count as comic books, because it's a drawn story.
It's a drawn story with lots of stories in it.
Mm-hmm.
Kids' stories.
I would count it, but... Maybe there's experts out there that wouldn't. I honestly don't know. I don't know about it. But that's theory number one.
Okay.
That comic books corrupted these children and that's why they went hunting for a vampire. Second theory is that the children in the Gorbals were influenced or inspired by other stories and legends that they had heard or read. So not comic books, but other things that they were exposed to or knew about that filled their head with ideas about vampires. And there are a few different suggestions for what the children might have known about that would have inspired the creation of this Gorbals vampire. And the first one is the Bible.
Oh.
It sounds weird, but bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, in the book of Daniel, there's an iron-toothed monster. And I have a quote from the Bible, from the book of Daniel, that says, "Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth."
Interesting.
Sound familiar?
Does sound familiar.
Now, at first when I read this, I thought, well, it's such a vague reference. Like, no child is going to know that. But wait. In the Gorbals in the 50s, there was a huge Christian, both Protestant and Catholic population, as well as a large Jewish population. The thing with both of these groups is that they would both be familiar with the Book of Daniel.
Mm.
Now, I tried to research this to be sure that the Book of Daniel is actually in the Torah, and I believe that it is, but it's not grouped with the major prophets like it is in the Bible. But, you know, that's a different issue because I over-researched to try and prepare, and that's why these take so long. But I believe that the Book of Daniel is in the Torah, so they would have been exposed to it. So there's a good chance that the children of these religions will have known about this iron tooth monster.
Yeah, it could have come up.
So that might have been what put the image in their heads, and then it went from there.
I like that. I like that.
I tried really hard to search the Book of Daniel. Odin. Stop wriggling. You're being too loud.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. But I believe you if you researched it.
I tried my best. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong, someone can tell me. That's fine.
Feel free.
So that's the first one. But another one that might have influenced the kids creating the vampire is the story of Jenny with the iron teeth.
Mm.
Have you heard of Jenny?
That does kind of ring a bell.
Well, Jenny with the iron teeth is a ghoul that supposedly haunts Glasgow Green.
Oh. Which is just over the river from the Corribles.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of stories refer to her as a witch, and the general belief is that she steals and eats children.
Okay, okay.
She has iron teeth.
Mm.
So, again, sounds very similar to the vampire. A lot of parents told badly behaved children that Jenny with the iron teeth would come and get them if they were bad, or if they weren't home on time. So if they were out past dark,
mm-hmm.
Jenny with the iron teeth was going to get them.
Yeah.
Did your parents ever threaten you with anything like that, if you were bad? Did you ever get told?
I don't think so. Not that I can remember, anyway. Weren't those sorts of threats? What about you?
My mum used to threaten my sister and I with spending a night in the jail cells in the police station if we were bad. She's in the police, so she could follow through. It was scary. Although my sister India got that one a lot more than I did, because she was much more badly behaved than me. Aside from that, not really. There weren't really any stories of the boogeyman that I was threatened with. Like, my mum did that, and my dad used to just play jokes on me to scare me. I used to go through to his room when I would wake up in the morning when I was at his, and I'd go wake him up by like jumping on him and getting him out of bed.
Savage.
So one morning I went through, and I don't know, like, maybe it was early, I don't remember it all that well, but I fell asleep again.
Oh yeah.
And he started scratching the side of the bed frame on the other side of the bed so I couldn't see. And it woke me up. He did it for that long that it woke me up again, and I was lying there and I had no idea what the sound was, and then he realised I was awake, so he told me that there were rats under the bed and they were coming to get me.
Did you just start crying?
Oh, it was horrible. It was really horrible. I didn't cry, but oh, it was awful. And then I saw him like reaching down and scratching the side of the frame, and I think I punched him. Like, I was so angry. And then another time he hid a glow-in-the-dark scream mask that I was terrified of in my bedroom cupboard, so that when I was lying in my bunk bed,
oh, nice.
It was level with my face. And I didn't know it was there until I turned the lights off to go to sleep, and this face was just staring out at me from the cupboard. And it was just... it was the worst.
And Ailey's love of spooks grew from there.
I had to learn to love them. It was my only joy.
That's a good one.
Oh, it was horrible. But I didn't have any stories that I was... Mm. There was no stories of monsters coming to get me. My dad was the monster, and he got me regularly.
Did you ever charge through to his room with any weapons? Did you get an axe to take through? Or...
No. I probably hit him with something at some point. That's true. Not an axe.
No.
Or a crucifix.
Probably a teddy. You didn't try and stake him.
No. No. Anyway, a lot of these children were told about Jenny with the iron teeth. And I'm sure that some of them, when they were young, they would have believed the story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a poem about Jenny. It's like maybe more of a nursery rhyme, which is from the point of view of an exhausted mother who has a badly behaved child. And the poem is the mother speaking to Jenny, asking her to come and take the bad child away and eat them.
I mean, you could definitely, like, make something up from there, couldn't
like,
you?
Like, that's a bad mum.
That is a bad mum, but...
just asking Jenny to come and eat her child because she can't handle them. Maybe I'm only saying that because I'm not a mum, so I'd...
50s parenting.
I don't understand this kind of frustration, but that's what the poem is.
Eight people in one room frustration? That's a lot of frustration.
With a child that's just being shit.
That's making everything worse.
The poem's in Scots, so I'm not going to read it because I'll just butcher it. But I'll try and have it in the show notes. Yeah. So if you want to read the whole thing, you can. But the mum is asking Jenny to, grab her child's, plump sides and sink in her teeth, and it's rough. You don't want your mum to be singing that poem about you, let me just tell you. You don't want that.
No, don't need that. It could be, or yeah, if you'd heard that, you could definitely, it's not a big step to be a vampire from Jenny with the iron teeth.
Not really. There's definitely similarities there, and geographically, they're not that far apart.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it does make sense. I could see it. I was going to ask some of our Glasgow friends if they'd ever heard of Jenny.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Because I'd never heard of that before, no. But I didn't grow up in Glasgow, so
no.
Maybe it's a Glasgow thing. I think this is a pretty compelling theory.
Yeah, I quite like that. You could definitely go from there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder where they learned the word vampire. Must have been in a book or something.
I don't know. I couldn't find that anywhere because I was interested. I said, if these kids don't know what a vampire is, who started it?
Yeah, who did know what a vampire was?
Well, I wonder if it's maybe that thing where the older kids say something.
Yeah.
And it gets passed down.
I mean, Dracula was written in 18-something, wasn't it?
Yes.
So.
I believe. Well, I think it's a compelling theory, and I did some more research, and I found out that the Garbles vampire isn't the only time that something like this has happened.
Oh, interesting.
So, although this only lasted 2 days, it's not the only time there's been mass hysteria with children trying to find a monster.
That's interesting.
So, this isn't the first time that children have banded together to hunt down a monster. In the 1870s, groups of children went out hunting for hobgoblins in Cowcaddens. Which is another area of Glasgow.
Oh, wow.
They went out en masse to try and find hobgoblins.
Hobgoblins.
In the early 1900s in London, children went out hunting for banshees and ghosts.
Oh.
And what's particularly interesting is that they were looking for one ghost in particular, who was referred to as Spring-Heeled Jack, who supposedly haunted London and breathed fire.
Hmm.
But this isn't too long after the Jack the Ripper murders.
Ghost called Jack?
Which I thought was really interesting.
That is.
Just whether they're hearing things that are kind of bleeding into their conscious mind and they're trying to find a way to understand what it is that they've heard. So that was interesting.
That is interesting.
After the Gorbals vampire, in 1964, so 10 years later, hundreds of children went out looking for leprechauns in Liverpool. Now, I didn't expect that to be happening in Liverpool either, but there you go.
I know.
They went out searching for leprechauns.
Oh, I can see why they didn't find any.
And there were other monster stories and monster hunts. There was the vampire of Croglan Grange in Cumbria, the Cardiff Giant, the Highgate Vampire, another vampire.
Interesting.
So many vampires.
There's a lot of vampires.
And even the Manchester Mummy. Now, I haven't looked into these events with a huge amount of detail because I didn't want to get derailed in our conversation. But I wanted to show you this little list because it shows how vivid kids' imaginations can be. That they do this kind of thing all the time. It's just what children do. And I think to a point they crave adventure. So their brains manufacture these monsters to chase.
Yeah.
That's what they want. They love stories and they understand the world around them by telling stories.
That's really interesting. I briefly looked up vampires. Because I was curious when, the word vampire started being used.
Okay.
And vampires came into, the public knowledge because they caused mass hysteria in the the Balkans in Eastern Europe?
The Balkans.
Balkans. Yeah, but they caused mass hysteria. I'm like, oh.
That was a thing. The vampires were a, societal issue. They believed they were real. And in the US, they believed in vampires.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. There were cases, maybe we'll talk about them in a podcast, but there were cases of people believing that vampires were real because they would see dead bodies or they would dig up dead bodies and they hadn't decayed the way that they thought they should.
Oh.
Or their bodies had bled. So they believed that the dead were awakening, going and feeding on blood and then going back.
Ooh.
So they, I can't remember what it was they did, but it's a thing. People were genuinely scared of vampires. I just didn't realise it was such a thing here.
Yeah, just afraid of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I have one last theory.
Okay.
And I like this last one, because to be honest, this is probably going to be one of those occasions where I think it might be a blend of all the theories.
Mm.
But this theory suggests that the hunt for the vampire came because of what the children were surrounded with, in terms of where they were living and how they were living at the time. So when you think of what the Gorbals looked like, particularly the necropolis, it's very easy to imagine children creating monsters that live in this kind of place. So if you imagine the necropolis at night, it's sending smoke into the air. Everything's very spooky. I read some things that said the foundry would sometimes send flames up into the air. So you can imagine the big orange sky filled with smoke. Imagine what that does to a kid's imagination.
Yeah, that's a bit wild, isn't it?
And the steelworks was a huge part of the lives of the people who lived in the Gorbals, because so many people worked there. Mm-hmm. It was ingrained in them. It was part of their life. So that might be part of the reason for the vampire's iron teeth. Because the children were aware of the foundry. They knew about metal, iron.
Yeah.
So it hugely influenced their lives. So it could make sense that that's how that came into being.
Well, that's the link I thought of. Iron teeth. I'm like, oh, that's weird. When there's like a steel foundry nearby.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mentioned at the beginning of the story, but conditions weren't great in the Gorbals in the 50s. Life was really difficult, and things weren't easy for the people living there. There were huge problems with poverty, crime, and the infant mortality rate was really high.
Oh.
So it's interesting that the Gorbals vampire was out eating children.
Yeah.
So it could be that the vampire was a way for children to rationalise and understand what they were being faced with and what was happening to other children. Because how much can you understand when you're young?
Mm-hmm. That would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And this might be a bit of a reach, but this comes back to why communists were upset about the vampire. A lot of people in Glasgow supported communism at this time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there were lots of members of the Communist Party in Glasgow. And Karl Marx said in 1867, quote, "Capitalism is dead labour, which, vampire-like, lives only by sucking living labour, and lives the more labour it sucks." Unquote.
Interesting.
So I wonder if children heard parents, people, relatives talking about communism, what they thought, their views on different topics, and just misunderstood what they heard.
That would make a lot of sense.
Because they wouldn't understand.
And, I haven't fact-checked this, but in Glasgow, some of the factories were 24 hours, and you do a night shift sometimes. And when you finish the night shift, because you just finish work, you go to the pub and have a drink. But it's actually 7 a.m.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I read that the Dixon's, what was it? The foundry that is in the store, I'm pretty sure it was 24/7.
Oh, well, see.
I'm pretty sure it was sending smoke into the air all the time.
Yeah, because you just finished work. And then you'd finish work and you'd go and have some beers with your, all the guys you just worked with. So I wondered if then you finish work, you have your few beers, you're coming home a bit lit up, and then, but it's actually just 9 a.m, so your kids are getting ready to go to school, and you're just coming home for your night off.
Maybe.
Effectively. But then if you're doing that and you've just been all gathered together discussing the merits of Marxism and communism, and that's very image heavy, a vampire. So you just come home a bit drunk, just spouting stuff about vampires, and the kids just sit there what's he talking about? Vampire? Ooh, vampires. Are there vampires out there?
Maybe. There's a good chance. So it's interesting. It's interesting that a lot of people believed in communism then, and there's that very vivid description of capitalism being a vampire.
Yeah.
All these people living in the Gorbals at this time where conditions were poor, and the way that factory life ran was awful. I thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the sole reason, but it was worth bringing up.
I think so.
And maybe the actual last theory is that there really was a vampire in the Gorbals.
Maybe.
but I don't believe it.
Seems unlikely that he then just left.
I don't believe it. I just don't. I did some research and I found people who are much more diligent and clever than I am who have...
Hate those guys.
I know. But they've looked at the records from that time and there were no children missing from the Gorbals.
Oh, interesting.
So if there really were children who were missing, you would think that their parents would have filed reports and talked about them being gone to the police.
Yeah.
There are no records of children being gone. So I think you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah,
that maybe
I was only a Chinese whisper of the whisper, like, it's stolen two kids. But holy shit, it's stolen two kids.
Oh yeah, there were no missing children.
Interesting.
It's such an interesting story. It's such an interesting story of all these children getting caught up with this tale. And the fact that they actually went out to find this vampire and get rid of him speaks volumes for the community that lived in the Gorbals at the time.
Oh, that's true, actually, yeah.
These kids heard about a monster killing their own and they weren't having it.
Uh-huh.
I think that's why I got so taken up with this story, because I was just like, wow. You know, these kids, they just went out.
They're just doing it.
Yeah, they weren't having it, so they were going to have him, you know?
I love that.
In 2016... Johnny McKnight wrote a play that was put on at the Citizens Theatre in the Gorbals about the Gorbals vampire, and it looked amazing. I saw photos from when they had it on. It looked incredible, and the people who live in the Gorbals now helped put it on, so like, some of them were extras. They helped build the sets and everything. They were really involved in the play, so they're not upset about this part of their history. They seem quite proud that it happened. And I'm really upset because it was in 2016, so we were living in Glasgow then. We could have gone to see it if I had known.
Nope.
2016 we were.
Oh yeah, we were back by then, weren't we? Yeah.
So we were there, we could have gone.
We were there, damn it.
I didn't know, so I'm really upset. I really wish we could have gone to go see it.
I know.
So there's been the play, and there's a large mural showing the Gorbals vampire on a big wall in the Gorbals.
Cool.
And I'll post a picture of it. I think I remember walking past it at some point or driving past it in a taxi. It's pretty cool. It's like a grinning face and the face has the fangs and it's dripping blood. And it's huge. It's really, really cool.
That is really cool. Don't think I've seen that. I was wondering what the main street of the Gorbals was. If it's the one where the co-op is. If, like they were saying, they built the Gorbals around one street with a fountain.
Not sure. I could probably check.
I don't think there's a fountain.
Well, they might have built over that.
Yeah, anymore. So I wonder where that was.
Not sure. But yeah, I'll try and share information about the Citizens Theatre play, share a photo of the mural. But once lockdown is over, the Mitchell Library in Glasgow has some of the old newspapers reporting the Gorbals vampire. So once lockdown is finished and we can go, I'd highly recommend going to go see them.
Yeah.
Because I've seen photos of the exhibit and it looks very cool. I would want to go see. Because it's like front page news. Of all these children going to go hunt a vampire. Yeah. It's very surreal. You don't see that on newspapers.
No. That's bizarre.
And that is the story of the Gorbals vampire. Thank you. Thank you. I won't bow because it'll be very loud.
Bow towards the mic. That was a good one.
Did you like it?
I did like that. Yeah, I think a little bit of everything except the comic books.
Yeah, you don't believe that
one. I don't think the comic books did anything. Other than, I don't know, spark an imagination, but not towards horrible things, just in general, perhaps. But
I think it's a bit uncanny and it's a big coincidence that the issue came out about the vampire with the iron teeth a year before. But I think it's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance that they maybe jumped on that as an excuse.
Because there's a lot weirder coincidence that let that happen.
I think it's much more likely that there was a lot of things that kids just, they didn't understand about where they were living, and they'd heard lots of stories from their parents. I think that's much more likely, because that's how things get passed down. There's so many like folk tales and folk stories, just Highland specific, that get passed down through generations from like your granny telling you or...
Yeah.
So it seems likely to me that that's what happened.
I think so. I think that makes sense. Like a dad just coming home haver and just telling stories. And the kid's been like, oh!
Thinking about what you were saying, maybe it was a guy stumbling home drunk and he stumbled through the necropolis and he looked like a vampire.
Oh, quite maybe, yeah.
Maybe. Hermione's suit. I'm glad you liked the story.
I did like the story.
I was very excited to tell you this one.
That was a good one. Oh, I'm going to say that every week. I'm just going to be like, that was a shit one, Ailey. Try harder.
And that's how Kieran got kicked off the podcast. For being a dick.
Well, that was really good.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. I worked hard.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
If you've made it this far to the end of the story.
Thank you again for joining us.
It means a lot if you are listening. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We hope you're enjoying it. And the website is generallyspooky.com.
Yes, we weren't able to tell you that in the last episode. We're recording these before we launched the podcast.
Yeah.
So at the moment, it's a month before the first episode is going up.
Like all the best spooks were coming to you from the past.
Yes. Echoes of the past. So yeah, the website's generallyspooky.com.
Yep.
You'll be able, you should be able to find episodes there.
Yep, we're going to have links to episodes.
Show notes.
Show notes.
If you're interested in the sources that I've used, find your own information. That's always a good practice to get into. So everything should be there in the show notes. Hopefully, if I'm diligent with the work I have to do.
Not to go yet. And
And if you could like this episode, this video, leave us a review if you're listening on Spotify, or iTunes,
Apple Podcasts.
It really, really helps. It really, really helps. Apparently, that's a thing.
I've read that too. And tell your friends if you like it.
Tell everybody, even if you don't like it. Tell the people you don't like if you didn't like it.
Get them involved. I can't remember if we said last time, but we're doing this in seasons. So we're doing either 10 or 12 episodes for season one.
And then we'll be taking a few weeks break.
Yeah.
And then we're coming to you with season two.
Yeah.
Which we already have plans for. So you have to stick around, otherwise we won't be able to bring you the second season.
Hashtag watch to the end.
Don't hashtag. That's lame. We'll see you next time, you guys.
We will. We'll see you again. Thank you for coming.